Hey everybody, Shane Presley here to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Check him out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Head down there and visit them and pick up some new records. They always new vinyl in every Friday. Lots of great used vinyl, CDs, tapes, and a fantastic local selection. Get on, take a look. Pick up some new music. They do a lot of live in stores on Saturdays and all kinds of fun stuff. So get out, support your local record store. Find them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey, this is Kevin Gagnepain from El Monstero, Joe Dirt and the Dirty Boys Band, Whiskey Morning, and Shooting with Annie. I get around. And you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 153, hanging out at the Pageant in St. Louis, Missouri with Kevin Gagnepain.
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, glad to be here.
This is very exciting for me. I am a big fan of a lot of your projects and of course, El Monstero. That's why we're here tonight.
That's so, right.
I went to the 18th Friday show, the first one, man, and like blown away, man. It was just incredible.
Cool. You know, the first night of something like this that's 3.5 hours long and has a lot of like what I'd call production elements, it's always a little scary to see how it all fits together in the pageant, you know.
Sure.
And glad you liked it. It was good.
Yeah,
it was good. We're honing it in now.
I'll be back for the Sunday, the 27th show. So be the first one and the last one. I'll get to see how it progressed.
There you go. Right. Yeah. Hopefully it's better.
Yeah. But man, this is my third year coming to see the show.
Awesome.
I kind of got on late, man. Everybody says like tribute band and stuff. Like, you know, you guys are a Pink Floyd experience, but like, that word tribute band, like I've seen a couple other tribute bands and was not impressed. And
right.
So that always kind of, you know, I'd heard about how great of a show it was, but it always kind of turned me off, like just that, you know, hearing tribute band. But finally got to experience myself and really kicked myself for not ever seeing it, you know, sooner.
Well, we're glad you joined
me. Yeah, but yeah, the show is like, it's unreal. It was one of the craziest experiences I've ever been part of.
You know, that's awesome. Thank you.
So you do a lot of the design and stuff for that, or what?
I there's not really a definition. I don't call myself anything in that role, but I work on the show all year round, mm-hmm. and I work with the production people, lighting, pyro, the cast, the dancers, all that stuff, and we brainstorm. And you know, I like to let people do what they're good at, but I also have a vision for what the show should look like and what it should feel like and what the fan experience should be. And I just try to make sure that everybody gets to do kind of what they want to do, but that we're always delivering a product that's consistent and is really, it's really about the fans and, you know, what do they want to see? What do they want to hear? Mm-hmm. And they may not always know. And sometimes we try to give them something new.
Sure. Yeah, like this year you guys threw in a couple of deeper cuts.
We are.
And some even got John up Pizzoni singing and stuff. And
right.
So I like that there's every year it's something different. There's always just another.
We always try to mix it up. And actually this year it was really cool. Like Jimmy came to me and he's like, hey man, I want to think about doing some of these older songs. John came to me and had another one of the old songs, and one of the guys, Kevin, who does pyro for us, he gave me a list of stuff that he thought, you know, it's fun. Even the crew guys are like, hey, man, you guys ever hear this song? You should try that. So we kind of all get together a few months out, and we, everybody brings stuff to the table, and then we sit down and we listen to things and talk about how they could work and how they would fit into the show. And then we make some decisions and take it to the first rehearsal. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it lays on the cutting room floor. Yeah. But this year, we got to work in a lot of deeper cuts in a way that I don't think... sometimes when you get that deep, you lose some of the people who are just kind of Pink Floyd fans. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that it works this year, that we can maybe turn a few heads with some older music, people that people haven't heard,
sure,
and have them dig it.
Oh, yeah. Well, even if it might not be your favorite song, the yeah. production, the state, you know, the dancers and everything, you got so much to visually to look at too. You know, like you can sell somebody on a song they might not have already been a fan of, but it might turn them. So
that's exactly yeah. right. Yeah, it's how they fit into the show.
Sure, it's even though you guys like you know you guys aren't playing exactly like by the record, you guys mix up a lot of different stuff. But you guys do a real good job of like making it seamless, though. Like the songs, like just like a Pink Floyd record, you know, when you hit start and it went from beginning to end, you guys do that even though you're mixing albums and stuff.
That's always a concern, and we try to find ways that that the songs relate to each other, because there's thematically there's lots of things that recur in all the albums.
Sure.
So we just try to find ways, whether it's in music, the key of the song, or something about the lyrics, or just the flow of, by tempo of the music, and try to just make a set that feels good.
Yeah.
Which is, their albums are concept albums, and we can't play the entire album in every case. Now, we do that with Dark Side of the Moon,
yeah.
but if you played the entire album, you could get maybe two records out, and the show would be over, mm-hmm. so... We try to give a bigger variety of music, but make it what you said, make it feel like it's it all belongs together.
Yeah, no, it's you guys do a great job of it, man. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the El Monstero show.
It's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, so this is 17 years.
17 years.
That's
unbelievable.
Yeah, it all started back at Mississippi Nights.
It did on November 27th, I think, 1999. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I never got to experience Mississippi Nights. But I saw The Urge just recently here in November, and they did a Mississippi Nights set
where they actually made the stage of the pageant
yeah.
kind of look like the Mississippi right. like Mississippi Nights stage. That's really cool.
So that was as close as I got to actually experiencing it.
It was such a great place, man. Yeah. I mean, we all grew up playing there, so
right. Yeah. There was a pretty good like age gap between some of my cousins and myself, and I never had like an older brother. I'm the older brother, so I didn't have anybody taking me out to go into shows when I was younger, and so like I was 99, I was a freshman in high school, so I was just kind of getting into music like right after high school and stuff, where mm-hmm. I really hit it hard, you know, especially going to a lot more local stuff, and
that's cool.
So it's only the addiction's only grown more and more now I'm doing this and everything else. So so you guys used to be like the Masked Avengers, right? It was
right. So the band we started this deal, it was really kind of a side project of Stir, the band mm-hmm. that I was in at the time.
Yeah.
And we were in between records, we were playing out, and we wanted to keep playing bars while we waited for our second record to come out, while Holy Dogs was recorded, and we were just waiting for it to be released. Mm-hmm. And we had like 3 months to kill. I'm like, well, we can't just sit around for 3 months. You know, A, we got to eat, and B, you know, we got to play music, or else when we do get around to playing, we're not going to remember how to wiggle our fingers.
Right.
So we started this band, and we called it El Monstero y Los Masked Avengers. And we used to wear like Lone Ranger masks, and it was just like a cover band, bar band. But Mark, who sings for El Monstero, was the singer of El Monstero y Los Masked Avengers, mm-hmm. and the backup band was Stir,
okay.
the three of us.
Yeah.
And it was fun. We'd give out Lone Ranger masks to the crowd. We just did all this stuff. We always ended the night with Dark Side of the Moon, the second half of Dark Side of the Moon, and we were doing this for the entire summer, and somewhere along the way, we're like, hey, we should just do a whole night of Pink Floyd. And so it was El Monstero y Los Masked Avengers presents Wish You Were Here, a tribute to Pink Floyd. We did, that was what the first show was called.
Okay.
But over the years, you know, everybody, that's a long name.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of syllables to choke through when you're drinking beer. So,
right.
So it got shortened to basically El Monstero at this point. Yeah. I mean, it still is El Monstero, We Lost Masked Avengers. But sure. The show is just El Monstero. We lost the Wish You Were Here, and we lost all that stuff. But it's just pared down to El Monstero.
Yeah.
That's the story behind
all right.
It started as Dressing Room Graffiti.
Yeah.
Our sound guy and sir, who's the sound guy for El Monstero.
Okay.
Used to write in every dressing room when we were on the road, El Monstero was here. I still don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
There's a line in Have a Cigar that says, we can build this into a monster if we all pull together as a team. And so, you know, there is like a tie in there as well.
All right.
Even though it's unintentional.
Yeah. Huh. That's fun. That's what I love about doing this kind of stuff. Getting, you know, even though... might be a little bit before my time or whatever, but I can get some of the stories, some of the behind the scenes, and I really enjoy that stuff, though.
Cool.
But you mentioned Stir, and I'm also a big fan of Stir. That Holy Dogs album, like I said, it's a great record. And
thanks, man.
I like One Angel is one that I play a lot still, and New Beginning.
Yeah.
And those are just that was, like I said, I kind of miss some of that stuff, but like going back. Doing my homework, like Modern Day Zero and,
right.
and Mesh and all, you know, a lot of the bands that are coming up out of the St. Louis at the time. And
Green Wheel.
Yeah.
You had The Urge.
Yeah.
Pale Divine, New World Spirits. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of bands that played that Leeds Landing scene that went on to get record deals and, you know, various levels of success. The Richard Fortus is the guitar player in Guns N' Roses, yeah. For Christ's sake.
Yeah. I talked to Devin Allman not too long ago. We sat at Rose Music Hall now. It was Mojo's in Columbia, and we sat and talked about some of his time playing Leeds Landing and stuff, and mm-hmm. And Dark Horses. And
yeah.
So it was just kind of fun to relive some of those old times. And
it was a good time. It was a good time to be a musician in St. Louis. We all had a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think you know there. You know, there's ups and downs throughout the years, I think. But I feel like I'm very heavily involved in our local music scene right now. And I believe that there's just tons and tons of talent in the city that is maybe not, you know, it's discovered on one level. But I think like the whole town is kind of bubbling under. Like, I feel like we're really close to becoming Nashville or Chicago or Memphis or something.
There's a lot of great musicians here.
It's just I post a lot of the stuff on the weekends, and I'm like, you know, there's 30, 35 shows you can go to on a Friday, Saturday night,
right.
And stuff. Like, there's tons of great music all over this town.
Absolutely.
And, so it's exciting times right now. So just like you were, you know, saying, all those other bands playing them. But you also we'll throw these dates out here for get some plugs in. You also play with Joe Dirt and the Dirty Boys.
I do, and so does Mark, and so does John. So the drummer of El Monstero, the lead singer of El Monstero, and myself are all in with Jerry Jost, the guitar player from The Urge.
Yeah.
So that makes the Dirty Boys band, and we're playing New Year's Eve at the Airport Hilton.
Right.
Keishi's New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, that's gonna be exciting stuff. Favaz and the whole crew's all going to be out there, too.
Crew's going to be there. Learn, Favaz, U-Man, maybe. I can't remember who I heard was going to be there.
I've had Learn on the show. I've had Jerry and John. And I'm trying to work my way around town.
Yeah, you're getting almost there, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to get all my buddies on the show and stuff. So it's a lot of fun. So we do also have... And you have Christmas Day, 25th, 26th, and 27th left of El Monstero run this year around. But the 26th is sold out. 27th is...
There's a few tickets left for the 27th. It's like, I mean literally a few, like five.
Right. But,
and then there's maybe 100 left for Christmas night. So,
So if you're hearing grab this, them if you can. Hurry up. Yeah, running out. Yeah, that... And, of course, you guys also do, like... your, you know, a summer show and
we do
and stuff. So those are I talked to Jimmy about a little bit about the comparison, but how would you describe the differences, like in the set, like is because this is a lot more. You got your lasers and your lights and smoke.
Yeah,
and
this show is more of a like a Vegas style production, I think. And right. The summer show is more like a festival concert.
Yeah,
I mean, we still do. There's still some production elements in there, but if you put a ballerina on stage at the amphitheater, yeah, it's like a spider dancing, you know, if you're sitting at the back sure of the lawn. So that's really, it's really more like it's like a summertime music festival vibe.
Yeah. But you guys, didn't you guys bring in a helicopter last
sure
year?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't mess around, right, but, yeah, it's just that, you know, that's a great example. The things that we do have to be bigger,
yeah,
because it's a bigger venue and the crowd is more spread out. So you the things that you can do in the pageant that are really amazing to see when you're up close and personal are not maybe so amazing when you're sitting 200 yards away. So you got to do big stuff, like fly a helicopter over the audience,
yeah,
or, you know, shoot flames 50 feet off the roof of the amphitheater.
Right, yeah. So. Yeah, that's pretty wild, though, to like I said, take it to that scale and make it that big.
It's, you know, I keep saying it, but it's just a ton of fun. I
mean, sure,
that's one of the guilty pleasures of this gig for all of us is we get to do a giant rock concert like we've always wanted to do. You know,
right.
I mean, there's no rules. I mean, we can do what, you know, can we fly a helicopter over the crowd? Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Why can't we?
Yeah. What do you have a? Not to give any secrets away, but do you have an idea that kind of that just didn't work out, or any, you know, this like
something that
you tried and
you know what that there when you just say that there's one specific thing that comes to mind, but I haven't given up on
yeah,
it yet, so I don't want to talk
yeah,
about
right
it yet.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, we don't want to spoil for next
yeah
year.
That's right. Yeah. It could happen this summer.
Yeah. So you also play with Whiskey Morning, right?
I do.
And Shooting with Annie.
That's right.
Have you seen Frank Shaw?
No. That was Tim Kresko. Sound guy.
Yeah. Do we have any anything on the calendar for those projects?
Whiskey Morning, we are doing New Year's Eve Eve.
Okay.
At the Naked Vine, which is a little wine bar in Chesterfield. That's Whiskey Morning is like a twang country band. We do a lot of old school country, female singer, male band. So there's, you know, there's some guy singers too, but
sure.
That's country music, which
yeah
is something I just started getting into in the last few years. And it's a blast. It's just
yeah
a totally different way of thinking about music for me. And it's really about the song, which is, you know, something that I've always I try to consider myself a songwriter,
mm-hmm,
and so country's it's really the chords and the music are kind of the same
right
in every song, but the lyrics and the melodies are different, and it's how the song is put together that makes each song unique.
Yeah,
it's just an interesting departure for me. I'm totally digging it. So
yeah,
Whiskey Morning's fun. Shooting with Annie's kind of it's my original project now.
Right.
So that's sort of alt country, and there's three songwriters in that. Actually, there's more than that. There's, you know, everybody's kind of a songwriter in that band, and the music is kind of sounds country sometimes, but it also is a rock band, and it's, you know, an alternative band. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I saw you guys maybe close to a year ago now at the at Off Broadway.
Okay.
So
cool. Yeah, we've had, like, you know, we don't play a lot.
Right.
It's a labor of love, but we've had some great gigs. We opened up for Willie Nelson here at the Pageant. We've opened up for Chuck Berry three or four times. We played with Edwin McCain.
You guys did a Nerd show too, right?
A Nerd show a couple years
yeah
ago. We play with the Incurables all the time, which is Jimmy's band. And
might have been. Did you guys do that Incurables one at Blueberry Hill like a couple of years ago, or was that a?
I think we probably
maybe
did.
Yeah.
We've done a bunch of gigs with them. Yeah, it's that's just that's the creative outlet, you know. That's took over that spot that Stir held for me. So
yeah, I think it's a lot of fun to watch you guys. You know, like I said, you and Jimmy and John and Bill and all. You know, you guys all have several projects all around town, and it's a lot of fun
to. Oh, this off as long as I can.
You're all right.
I need to grab this product.
But it's a lot of fun to watch you guys in your various forms, and you know, playing all around town and and stuff. So I like it a lot, and you know, like for one, as a fan, like, you know, sometimes you know, you guys might not be as accessible on an El Monstero night just because of the, you know, bigger crowds and everything.
Volume of people, right?
But, you know, it's cool if I go out to Naked Vine or something, I can say, hey, like, you know, and you...
Totally.
So, stuff
come
like
hang
that.
Out and, and have a glass of wine and chat about music.
Yeah.
I'm always up for it.
Yeah. I was going to ask a couple questions, just some things that... Do you, what was your first album, do you recall?
The first album that I bought?
Yeah.
The first album I bought was Billy Squier, Don't Say No.
Yeah.
I bought it with money I made cutting grass.
Yeah?
Yep, that's the, and it, I bought it on vinyl at Danny's Golden Records in Normandy, Missouri, right next to the Baskin-Robbins.
Nice.
That was it. I took that thing home I can't remember what song I heard. It was probably Lonely as the Night.
Yeah.
Might have been 2 days Gone. But I thought it was awesome. And when I took it home, I'm like, I love that record. I burned holes in it.
Right.
And I still love it.
It's kind of funny how, like, for me, you know, songs and things like the visuals that go together with some stuff, you know, like whether it triggers a memory of the, you know, something, or even a lot of movies, you know, soundtracks and things. They go hand in hand, but like for me, whenever I hear Billy Squier, I think of Billy Madison sitting on the hood of his Trans Am outside of the school, and you know, I think it was a stroke on that.
Right. So. And then Eminem brought it back. Wasn't it Eminem that brought it back, sampled in that tune?
Berserk. So
it's great. Billy Squier is just kind of little known. I guess he's not that little known, but he wasn't like ever a huge, giant rock star. But that record, Don't Say No, is an amazing record.
Yeah. Who was your biggest inspiration for to play bass? Like somebody you looked up to?
You know, I started playing bass in a weird way. I was a guitar player, and when I was in high school, our jazz band had a guitar player, and the director came to me and he said, "Hey, man, you know, I have a guitar player for next year, and it's not going to be you, but we need a bass player. And if you think you can take this home for the summer and learn how to do it, then I would be interested in you trying out." So I did that, and really, it's kind of funny because, you know, he's an idol of mine and the world's greatest bass player, Jaco Pastorius, but jazz band played a couple Weather Report songs. And so I had to learn this, you know, I went back and I had the music for the songs, but I wanted to hear what the original recording sounded like. And so he was like a huge influence in the beginning. I was always a gigantic Beatles fan. I mean, but I was always like, I loved the lyrics to the songs from when I was a little kid. I loved the Beatles, and I knew all the words, but I don't know that I knew really understood how great the bass lines were until much later in life when I was trying to learn how to play other songs on bass, and I'm like, oh, Beatles, you know, I'll check that out. And so Paul McCartney is a giant influence. Michael Anthony and Van Halen, you know, totally underrated bass player, plays simply, but it's just unbelievable rock and roll.
Yeah. Sometimes in that kind of role, like, you know, where you got a lead player like Eddie, like, sometimes you got to learn, you know, kind of know your role a little bit or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so there's a fine art to even that, like to where you can kind of just kind of duck back and you know, but you're steady, you know, you're consistent, you're, you know, in quality and everything. It's just that you don't need a lot of your, you know, big bass solos or anything because you got a guy that shreds like Eddie Van Halen.
That's
so.
Right. That's right. And then, you know, I love all kinds of music, so I listen to everything. I mean, I don't know the names of the bass players on
right.
half the songs that I love that the bass lines for.
Yeah.
But
I think it's tonight. The Beatles' whole catalog is supposed to be up on Spotify now, so like that's a pretty big deal for anybody on online music and stuff. Yeah. They held out getting the music on there for a long time. So,
they keep reselling their catalog to new people.
Yeah. So they're making a lot of money off of these songs that have been making a lot of money for. Long time.
They hold up. They stand the test of time. They're still great songs.
Yeah. Yeah. McCartney was on SNL over the
just
weekend
last
too.
Weekend.
Yeah, with Bruce. That was cool to see.
He's unbelievable. I mean, you look at that guy. He's got the fountain of youth. Somewhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think he bought it.
Yeah.
He bought it with yesterday money.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever see that him doing yesterday with Jimmy Fallon, the scrambled eggs?
I did not see that.
So, well, Jimmy, he's done a bunch of different stuff. From he did Jim Morrison impression on there, and he did Neil Young, Bruce Springsteen, all these guys that he's had done impressions of and stuff on the show. But he got Paul to come out and sing with him, and then the original lyrics, he had the melody of Yesterday, and the original placeholder for the lyrics was Scrambled Eggs.
Oh right.
So. So Jimmy wrote the rest of the words to the song. God. So they rewrote. So the song was Scrambled Eggs, and so anyway, it was really funny that he got Paul to actually come out and do it with him.
I think Jimmy Fallon's done an amazing Tonight Show.
Yeah,
everybody who's kind of held that role has tried to sort of do what the guy before him did, and then maybe add a few little things here and there. Mm-hmm. But it's basically been the same show. Up until Jimmy Fallon, and then he really turned it into something that is younger and hipper done an really great job. I mean, I don't watch that much TV, but every time I see a clip from that show, it's always top notch. And he was great on SNL.
Yeah. I think he finally found his fit, where he does a little sketch, does a little interview, does some different things, and I feel like he's. He's got a good fit there, and he belongs on doing the Tonight Show like that. So
I agree, totally.
So we're getting here, Christmas time. Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
John Lennon, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe what is it? The Waitresses.
Yeah.
That song's silly, and you hear it 9 million times, but I still love it. I don't know.
I was kind of hoping Bruce was going to do that Merry Christmas, Baby, but he did Santa Claus Coming to Town.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too. So.
Yeah. Bruce has kind of got to do Santa Claus Coming to Town.
Right, yeah. I had that Mariah Carey Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home.
Oh, yeah.
I had that stuck in my head the other day at work. I'm, whistling it all day and stuff, and I don't know. But, yeah, it's just... working retail and stuff for a couple of years, I used to have to hear that stuff all the time, and it kind of kills it for you. But
my Christmas now is so entrenched in Pink Floyd music,
and
I don't hear that as much Christmas carols as I probably would if it was.
Those are your favorite.
Wasn't Frail Monstero.
Those are your favorite Christmas songs now.
Right.
Well, man, this has been a ton of fun. I appreciate you taking some time out to do this.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, whenever, man. Mike's always ready, so cool. Whenever you get some free time, hit me up.
Sounds great.
But yeah, come out. Like I said, if you can grab tickets, December 25th, 26th, 27th, you can see Kevin and El Monstero here at the Pageant. And then come out...
the 30th at the Naked Vine for Whiskey Morning.
Whiskey Morning.
And 31st at the Airport Hilton with Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
I got a busy week coming up.
Yeah, man.
Holy crap.
Hustling. Yeah. All right, Kevin. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, man.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.